Epic City, Colorado Springs, Colorado. This is the USA Volleyball Show, and here are your hosts, Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the USA Volleyball Show, the official podcast of USA Volleyball. We are your hosts, Stephen Munson and Clarence Hughes. Clarence, how are you doing?
I don't know. It's only my third day out here. I don't really know what are we doing? I can't believe we're on episode 3 already. It's going so fast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we're moving right along, talking about Tokyo and the, you know, celebrating 100 days out here. But we've had some great guests, and you know, we're excited for the guests we have lined up for you guys today. Clarence, why don't you give us a little brief explanation of what listeners can expect from the podcast?
Authenticity. That's what you can expect. You know, we're toning that level of professionalism way down to meet the bare minimum. We just want to. We want to be humans, okay? We make mistakes. We're trying to be authentic, and that's what the podcast is about. Just a new direction of outreach and interaction with fans. And here we are.
Yeah, interaction with fans, and you guys can interact with us and engage with us too. Hit us up on our email, leave us some feedback. The email is theusavshow@usav.org. And remember, rate and review us too. That really helps us show up in the searches and grows this podcast that we're building here, and helps us get more fans, helps us build the USAV show family.
We want to gear this towards you, for you, for the fans, for this audience, and anything we can do to help better that, let us know, please.
Yeah. And then, like I said, we're going to continue the Tokyo conversation and 100 days out. That's today, April 14th. The 100 days hype continues. And we'll be talking specifically about beach today and the race for Olympic qualification. And we'll hear from our guests. We've got a good lineup today. We have Sean Scott, the USA Volleyball Director of Beach National Teams. And Sean will talk about how Olympic qualification works for the US beach teams and expectations for Tokyo and how they're preparing. And then we also have Kelly Clays from the USA Volleyball Beach National Team. We have a very fun conversation with her lined up because she embraces her nerdy side. She talks a little bit about video games and anime and how she's getting Sarah into Harry Potter. But then, we'll switch gears and talk about volleyball and the race for Tokyo and what it would mean for her to make it to Tokyo. Here we go. Let's set up our first guest and we'll hear from Sean Scott.
Wingardium Leviosa.
Yeah, welcome to the USA Volleyball Show, Sean. Thank you for joining us so early there on the West Coast. Surprised you're even in the office right now.
I have two kids, so we're up early. Want to sleep in, that's not happening.
Yeah, I'm originally from LA, and I used to live with he was maybe like 4 or 5 year old nephew, and he's off the wall at 6 a.m. So I get it.
Yeah, they're up ready to go. So.
Right.
Well, thanks for joining us. I mean, thanks for having me, guys. I'm actually excited you guys are doing this podcast. I'm excited to, thankful and grateful to be part of this episode, and hopefully it works out. And then going forward to tuning in and seeing what you guys create going forward. So, yeah, it's awesome.
That's good. We appreciate it. This is our first interview we're kicking off ever. So we're making history here. You're part of it. So hopefully this is the first of, many collaborations we can be a part of in the future. So again,
Steven's mustache is throwing me off a little bit. So if I get distracted and just start not saying anything, it's just because I'm distracted and just staring at the beauty and magnitude of it.
Yeah. Sean, okay. I like to change my look up every time I see you. So just to keep you on your toes. Yeah. Just to kick things off here, I'd want to talk to you about the question everybody is wanting to know. Everyone's talking about Olympic qualification on the beach side. How does that work?
Simple answer for the U.S. top two U.S. teams for Olympic ranking will go. I mean, that's a simple answer. The long form answer is a bit more convoluted and complicated. I mean, it starts at the International Federation level, which for us is the Federation International de Volleyball, and they get selection procedures approved by the International Olympic Committee or IOC. And then from there, USAV works in conjunction with the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee in drafting our selection procedures. And then I can go into as much of the minutiae or details you want, or but essentially for the U.S., it comes down to Olympic ranking and the top two teams for gender will be the ones that'll go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, feel free to go into the details a little bit. I know there's, you know, different tiers and tournaments. There's, you know, 1 to 5 star and each one has different point levels too. So can you talk a little bit about that as well?
Yeah. So maybe I'll start with kind of just the FIVB procedures. So they, there's 24 teams that participate in the tournament. The host country gets one team per gender. And then the next qualifying event was the World Championship. So the team that wins that earns a spot for their NOC/NF, their National Olympic Committee or National Federation. And then you had the Olympic qualifying tournament where two teams earn spots for their NOC/NF. And then you have 15 that come from the Olympic ranking, which closes June 13th and will come out June 14th of this year. And then you have 5 teams that come from the one from each confederation. And so that gives you your total of 24. Within that, what you're referring to, Stephen, is the FIVB World Tour. And that is, you know, what determines the Olympic ranking predominantly. So as you mentioned, there's different tiers of events. Obviously, the highest one is the World Championships, and that has the most points on it. And then 5 star has the next most points, and 4 star, 3 star, 2 star, and all the way down to 1 star. So obviously, if teams perform better in a higher star event, they get more points. And so those tournaments also generally are actually have the most prize money and points. So then they tend to draw the best athletes or teams. So if you look at strength of field in general, you can consider like those tournaments are going to have the strongest fields versus like a 1 star event.
Yeah, that's actually very interesting. And, you know, it's a really good segue, you know, just to the next conversational topic that we're having is just wanting your own you know, opinion and thought process on, you know, our contention to these, you know, limited spots that we have for the Olympics. So just wanted to get your general outlook there.
It's exciting. April and Alex, mathematically, even if another U.S. team on the women's side were to win out, they can't catch them. So mathematically, they're in. So barring any unforeseen circumstances, you know, they'll be one of the teams that, again, As USAV, as the National Federation NGB, we will nominate the teams to the USOPC, and then they'll be the ones that actually enter them with the FIVB. But barring any unforeseen circumstances, they're going to be nominated when the Olympic ranking closes. Again, given what we've just gone through this year, who knows?
So right. Yep. Anything could happen.
Circumstances. So on the women's side, it's essentially up for the second spot. And that's just a very, I think, tight and exciting race. As a fan of the sport, you know, I'm excited to watch and see who takes that second. My biggest thing in my role and my job is to just try to create create an environment that's clear, fair, and transparent. And then the athletes can decide it on the court. So it's not, you know, someone like you might hear from other NGBs or NOCs, things of where judges or juries are deciding things. We want it to be decided on the court. So if you win, you get to go. And if you don't win, so that way I think is just the fairest and most clear cut way. And then on the men's side, obviously both spots are still up for grabs, mathematically speaking. You know, Jake and Taylor have a little bit of a lead, you know, with their finish recently in Doha, they extended that. So right now, Phil then passed Tri and Trevor. So it's going to be really interesting. We have a 3-event bubble coming up in Cancun in a couple weeks. And so I think we'll know a lot more post those events, but I could see it coming down to the wire and finishing in Ostrava the week before the ranking is due out. That's how close it is.
Oh, wow.
That's exciting. Yeah, the men for the second spot right now are, it's 40 points. So like that's one finish.
Really close. Yeah.
Wow. As you were talking about that, I got chills. I'm like, wow, it's just so tight, such a tight race. You know, you got April and Alex on this, you know, again, you said they're mathematically in, but it's exciting. I don't think people realize the attention to detail that, you know, and the pressure that, you know, comes to just getting these qualifying spots. This is amazing.
Yeah. I think one thing when you hear people talk about it, one thing most people forget to mention is just that it's an NOC/NF spot. So even though like a team earns a spot, technically it goes to the NOC and NF. And then we're the ones that also have to draft procedures. So like for the US after Rio, we met with a bunch of the athletes and coaches and a few other key stakeholders and said, hey, what do you want the process to look back? Give us your, you know, your input. And they were like, hey, we need to know sooner rather than later so everyone can plan. And, you know, like we've done in the past, they wanted it to default to Olympic ranking. Whereas you have other NGBs or NFs like, you know, Volleyball Canada, if you win the Worlds, so Sarah Pavitt and Melissa for winning the Worlds in 2019, they earn that spot. Their selection procedures say that if a team wins Worlds, they'll get the spot. If a team wins Olympic qualifying, they'll get that spot. Whereas ours, like if April and Alex had won Worlds in Hamburg in 2019, it's like great win, but you still got to finish as one of the top two. Okay. And then Brazil's got a little tweak where they might end theirs a little bit early, maybe, you know, December. So like as of a tournament, the World Tour final in Rome in 2019, they already knew who their Olympic teams are going to be like before that tournament was even over based on finishes.
Wow.
So that's a one part where I think when people talk about it, they talk about the IF or FIVB selection procedures, but they forget that the spot goes technically to the NOC or NF, and then it's up to them. They also have procedures that have to fall in line or, you know, fall within the guidelines or regulations of the FIVB's procedures. But so
you may have talked about this earlier, but the two spots per gender, that's not a guarantee. Like we could potentially only send one US team on the men's side or the women's side, correct?
Yeah, in theory you could send zero.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the host country is the only country that's guaranteed a spot is the host, and then everyone else has to earn it. Where we're at in the ranking, I mean, so when the process starts, we take a look and we try to see, okay, where do you need to be above point wise to qualify through the Olympic ranking? And we do a little rudimentary sort of calculation of, okay, if it's top 15, we know that first through fourth, that's four spots. Then there's four fifth place finishers, that's eight spots. And then there's eight ninth place finishers, so that's 16. So like if you're finishing ninth or higher in that best tournament, so that's world champs, the five stars, four stars, et cetera, we can extrapolate out and say, okay, it's going to be about 5,800 points, you know, something like that. So as long as you're above 5,800, you'll be right on that border. And then the further up from there you go. So all of our, like on our women's team, our women's side, we're sending two teams. On the men's side, we're sending two teams to the Olympic ranking.
Yeah,
if there were some reason, and we haven't had to go this route historically, if we didn't qualify two spots through the Olympic ranking, then we do have the last opportunity through the continental route, which again, we would send two teams, but again, that would default to the top two teams according to Olympic ranking. So again, that's why I say everything for the US is Olympic ranking, would go and actually compete as a team. So they would have to go and earn the spot together. And then if they earn a spot, then they would have to play off against each other to see who goes. So that would be That would be one intense match if that ever occurred.
Yeah. I kind of want to see it happen. I know it's a lot. That's kind of hype. I mean, that excites me.
I don't want to see it happen from a program perspective because that means we didn't qualify the Olympic ranking. But as a fan,
it was
like one, that'd be like, holy, there's a lot on the line. And Canada's had to do it a couple times. And there's a lot of nerves, I'm sure, on those matches.
Wow. Well, changing gears here just a little bit. Back in 2019, I think it was an actual FIVB tour event, but there was a Tokyo test event that I believe you attended and many of our top teams attended as well. What were your takeaways from that event and some of your expectations for Tokyo after going to that event?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for us going into it is just trying to understand what Tokyo is going to be like or what it's going to be about. So one of the big issues is the heat and humidity. So we know it's going to be hot. We know it's going to be humid, you know, just looking at historical averages. And so we tested out a lot of our heat and humidity protocols just to see what worked, what didn't. And then we've continued to, and a lot of those were just building on what we do regularly at World Tour events because, you know, events are hot and humid. And so it just was kind of tweaking those a little bit, understanding what the athletes like and don't like. So that was one of the big things. And then also getting a feel for just the environment. Obviously, the stadium was not the same size and layout, but the location was exactly where it's going to be. You could see a little bit from the sun, the wind, just geographical location. We were able to visit where the high performance center in Kuro Sports Park with the USC is located. So we were able to take a trip out there. And see kind of the layout there, what sort of resources and things would be And so it's more of from a program perspective, it's a big like a reconnaissance kind of mission. You're going in trying to grab any information you can that might prove beneficial in your preparations.
Were there any, did you hear the athletes talk about anything that they were experiencing while they were playing in that competition? Other than, you know, I mean, the heat was a big one you mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah, we had some athletes, and it's actually interesting. The day after the competition ended, it was the hottest day. So I was like, dang it. I can't, cause we wanted hot. We wanted really hot and humid so that we could test and see where we, you know, where things might fail or
get that experience. Yeah.
That experience. So the next day it was the hottest day ever. And Christian, our athletic performance coach, and myself walked over to the village because it was, you know, so we took the train over and then walked through. It was still under construction, but we could walk through and kind of showed him the layout. And I think I got heat stroke. And I was
oh my gosh. Like,
okay, note to self, I need to get in better shape before the games because I can't go down. And like the medicals athletes, like, what's going on? Oh, they're taking care of the team leader.
Like, hey, it's hot. Hey, you got hot. Sorry. But
I guess the heat and humidity was the biggest thing. Our athletes fared well, especially like we had some athletes coming from Florida. So they were like, yeah, this is like back home. We saw some of the other federations, their athletes had some issues with the heat and humidity and, you know, some medical timeouts. So, but other than that, I guess maybe some of the food stuff, just athletes getting used to or understanding what the cuisine is going to be like. Obviously the organizing committee does a good job in the village of providing, you know, a bunch of different cuisines that athletes can choose from.
Cool. Was there any, you mentioned the other teams a little bit there. Was there anything you saw that the other teams and federations were doing that was kind of unique that you hadn't thought of?
I think the biggest thing was everyone was looking at the ice vest that each country was using. So they're like, oh, what does your ice vest look like? Oh, what does your ice look like? So we actually saw another country that their ice vest were like, wow, that's really cool. And another one, they had like three or four different things they were testing out.
Wow.
So we ended up getting those. So we'll have a couple options for the athletes, and then we've been testing them out and sizing. And so that was probably the biggest thing that I noticed. Everyone's kind of looking like, oh, you guys got ice buckets. Oh, you have ice guys, trying to figure out how each NGB or NF was going to try to battle or, you know, compensate for the heat and humidity.
Are those ice vests worn during competition, or are they just after, like during timeouts and stuff?
For us, we work with the USOPC. They have, you know, in their sports science department to figure out their best utilization. So it'll be before. So athletes will have, you know, 90, I think it's 45 minutes before they'll get the warm up court. And that's when they'd probably be wearing the ice vest. They can wear them for after competition to cool down. But again, they have 48 hours in between each game. So it's not
true.
They'll have some time to rehydrate and cool down and recover and get some fuel and stuff in there. So it's for us, we primarily see it as a pre-event just to try to get their, you know, keep their court temperature down as much as possible before they go and play for about, you know, 35 to 50 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's good to know, especially about the ice vest thing. I would never have, you know, thought that was such a thing to consider. Given,
yeah,
you know.
And we have athletes that wanted nothing to do with it. They're just like, it's not part of our routine normally, so I don't want to. And that's been a big focus of mine. I learned a lot, I think, going to Rio with the teams. Is just everything at a games is just so different. You know, the competition is different. You play every other day. A lot of the teams you play aren't there due to country quotas. There's a lot of, obviously, you know, friends and family there traditionally. There's media. There's just a lot. And it's often, you know, teams are training their entire lives for this one event. So there's a lot of downtime and different. You go on the warm-up court and all of a sudden the whole delegation's there supporting you. And it's like, wait, this isn't normal. What? Usually it's just two athletes and our coach. So what we've focused on this lap between Rio and now is trying to normalize a lot of those things. So whether it's ice vest, whether it's, you know, having this full support of the delegation there at a warm-up court or at practice, just normalizing that. So when we do get to the games, is everything that we can control is just normal for the athletes as much as possible. It's not something we don't want to be adding to the confusion or uncertainty or something new. That there's enough of that just inherent in the game. So what can we do to normalize things and make them feel like they're at home and let them just then go out on the court and again, perform at to their maximum.
That's practice how you play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the ice test. We're trying to get them out and get athletes to wear them here, there, you know, not just, you don't want to show up at the games and be like, hey, we got this new thing. It's great. Like, saw it online. And they're like, what the?
if any athlete doesn't want to wear them, I'll take it when I'm in Tokyo. So just leave that on the side for me.
Make sure
I have a few extra for staff. Just so, again, like I said, I almost passed out the day after. So I think I'll have to have one.
I'm a medium, size medium, maybe. So
you want to bring a large back to Colorado Springs? I wear large. So
noted.
Yeah, I mean, I think that pretty much sums up all the questions that we had for you on this interview. And I hope we didn't take too much of your time. But, you know, before we leave and wrap it up, is there anything else you want to, you know, just leave on the table and let everyone know?
I think for me, one of the big things going into Tokyo that's going to be paramount is this sort of mindset. You know, there's so much uncertainty with, we just found out a couple of days ago that there's no international fans, you know, so I think there's a lot with the testing procedures, the playbooks that will outline all the COVID countermeasures that, you know, TOCOG will have in place. That's Tokyo Organizing Olympic Committee, Olympic Games. And so we're doing a lot. And actually, the USOBC is doing a presentation tomorrow with their sports psych of dealing with uncertainty. So I think a big key competitive advantage for our athletes could be how they look at all this uncertainty. Because at the end of the day, regardless of what's going on, it's going to be beach volleyball on a court with the same rules, you know what I mean? So if you can get past that other stuff and just look at it like, hey, the more you throw it to me, the more uncertainty, the more challenges, it's just going to make it that much sweeter when we kind of, you know, reach the summit. I think that could be a big, big competitive advantage. So it's kind of a focus that we've been with our athletes of trying to, you know, like welcome the challenge, assume positive intent. And so I think that's a big thing that I know for us going into the games is going to be an emphasis.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's good insight. We might have to have you on again, closer to the date, just to talk a little bit about, more specifics of what, how Tokyo is preparing and everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, love to do it. And thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Next time, Sean. We'll make sure to make sure Steven shaves his mustache so you not throw it off.
I got a little flow going too, so I might have to trim that up too.
Actually, I want to know, you need to give me more lead time so I can get the mustache going.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, I just got a haircut a week ago. Had I known, I would have left it. It would have been.
let it grow. We'll have stash and flow for Tokyo.
This is all I got. So don't expect anything too much from me.
It's like the Sean. It's like the playoff beard for hockey. That's what we'll do for the Olympics.
Nice.
Well, thank you, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Take care.
Right. Have a good day.
Yeah. Wow. That's a very complicated and intense process. But Sean did a great job explaining how the USA teams, you know, will qualify for the Olympics. And, you know, the simple answer is top two teams in the Olympic rankings go to the Olympics, basically. Definitely a tight race we have going on both the men's and the women's side.
I hope you all were taking notes because I definitely had to. Sean is definitely someone who is really good at what he does. He broke that down so thoroughly and detailed. Like, I feel like we could have had a conversation about that for about a week, just talking about the different levels and tiers of, you know, ways to qualify, whether you're a host nation or you're not. It's just, it's incredible. I like to think of it as a matrix of possibilities among rankings and qualifications. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah. Sean's the expert. He's who we go to talk about beach and beach Olympic rankings and how the process works. But exciting that we have, you know, it's basically kind of boiling down to three teams on each side, the men's and women's side. And it's just such a tight race. Like he said, the men's side, I think the separation between the second spot is like 40 points.
Yes.
So that's how tight the race is right now.
And then the women's side, as you mentioned, you know, mathematically speaking, April and Alex are pretty much in. And even if a team wins out, they're still going to be in that top spot. So that, you know, brings all the attention down to that number two spot, you know, which is a very tight race in and of itself. it's just, it's exciting. I can't wait for Cancun. That's going to be a real, really special event.
Yeah. Cancun, starting this week, we have, and it goes into early May, I believe, in three tournaments, all back to back to back, all for Olympic points, basically. So it's going to be, you know, when we come on the other side of this, of Cancun, we might have a clearer picture, better picture of where teams are at. But Sean, you know, even said himself, he could see this going down to the very end, the very wire, to that event right before they close the Olympic rankings.
Yeah. And also, just to touch on a couple of other, you know, methods of preparation that athletes on the sand have to really take into consideration that indoor athletes don't really have to ever think about, like, you know, the weather. Mm-hmm. He brought up, you know, just wearing ice vests in those, you know, more on the hotter areas that are similar to, you know, the humidity of what Florida has compared to California. It's just so different. Wind is a factor, and it's just wow.
It's a lot, you know, compared to the indoor side. There's a lot of factors that that the beach athletes have to take into consideration and prepare for, elements being one of the big ones, and heat, I know, is one of the big main topics heading into Tokyo, with how hot it's going to be on the beach that time of year. And they had an event in 2019 where they went out to Tokyo and got to experience that around the same time frame as the Olympics will be. And they got to experience that firsthand and try out those ice vests and try out different methods of cooling down and keeping the athletes cool and preparing for that heat and those elements. And I know a little bit later on, Kelly, in our second interview, we'll talk about how she's been preparing for the heat too, and how she dealt with it in this last tournament in Doha. And she does stuff like sauna training and, mm-hmm. and things like that. But yeah, very interesting conversations with Sean about how they're preparing for Tokyo. And we'll definitely have to have him on again to, as we get closer, to talk a little bit about, you know, the preparation down the wire for Tokyo.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that follow-up conversation, you know, with updated points. You know, Sarah and Kelly, if you're listening, cover your ears when we start to touch base on that. We know you want to focus on the game. That's what you do. And, you know, we just want to give you that spoiler alert there. But wow, a lot of really good information from Sean. I can't wait to follow up with him.
Yeah, a lot of great insight there from Sean Scott. Thanks so much. We were very lucky to be able to talk to him about the Olympic process and preparations for Tokyo. Like I said, he's the expert. He's who to talk to about it. And we'll definitely need to touch base with him later on.
Had some good conversations about, you know, your mustache. You know, you caught him by surprise in the interview. He was distracted a bit. We had to cut some of that out. But yeah, I love the... I love how in tune and you know, respectful he was of the stash. You know, got to give credit where credit's due. And hopefully by the time we come back around closer to Tokyo, he grows his out. Remember, he asked for that lead weight.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sean, if you're listening, hopefully you are. Let's get the stash going for Tokyo. It's like the playoff beard in hockey and other sports. We'll do the stash for Tokyo.
You know, one of my favorite quotes that I have now taken from that interview from our very own Stephen Munson is he tells Sean, let us know, let it grow. We'll have a stash and flow for Tokyo.
Spitting rhymes.
He didn't even know it.
You heard it here first. Well, yeah, like I said, we were very lucky to talk to Sean. But let's move on to our second guest here, USA Volleyball Beach National Team athlete Kelly Clays. And let me tell you guys, buckle up for this one because it's a wild ride. You know, we talked to her about her and her partner Sarah Sponsel's new upcoming music video. We get into video games, what Kelly likes to play, what she's trying to get Sarah to play. We touch on Harry Potter. All kinds of things. And of course, you know, we talk about volleyball too.
I forgot we were talking about volleyball. She's such a unique personality. It's good. Like this is the side
of athletes you really get to relate to and buckle down with. And a lot of the conversational topics, like Steven mentioned, you know, it just reminds you that, you know, we're all human. We're all the same. You know, we breathe the same way. We love the same things, especially to all of our Nintendo Switch fans out there. This is the episode for you, you know, so stay tuned.
Yeah. And this is what we're trying to get from this podcast for you guys is just the other side of the athlete. You know, they're more than just volleyball athletes. You know, they have great personalities, other interests off the court. And it's really exciting to see, you know, they're just like us. They're just like us normal folk.
Athletes are people too.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, let's jump in right now with Kelly.
Describe your partnership with Sarah in one word. Hard to do it.
That's so hard. The first word that comes to mind is creative. But I also think like authentic. I feel like creative is pretty spot on. I think we're both very unique humans, first of all, but I'm pretty biased. but I think we dive into some stuff that I don't see a lot of athletes doing. I don't know if you guys have seen all of our music videos that we do.
Oh, those are my favorite.
Our next one's coming out very, very soon. It's the best one yet, but like, I don't see anybody else doing stuff like that. Like, we're writing parody songs and making like real live music videos. Like, we went to a studio in Hollywood, recorded it. Sarah found a real choreographer to like create a dance for the video. You guys are going to lose your minds when you see it. We're very excited about it. We have a cool guest who's in the video. We're like pretty much big time now, but
You guys are great, like partners performance wise, but you have a lot of fun.
And
you guys show that on social media, which is super cool.
Yeah, I think it's cool that it's on the court and off the court. I think when we're playing at our best, it's when we're having fun together. It's when we're both being creative on the court together. And I think that starts with just like how we communicate with each other. I think that's like pretty spot on with like how I describe our partnership. It's much more than that, but if we're just going to go with one word, I think I could land on that one.
Creative. Okay. I love that.
Now you get to talk yourself up and, you know, assume one word that Sarah would think of you when it comes to your partnership. Don't we gas yourself up?
Totally gas myself up. Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know. That was for like both of us. Fiery?
Fiery. Okay.
I think it comes with the red hair. I think like it's just part of the package. I think I bring like the yelling, screaming enthusiasm, and Sarah brings like the like gritty, like bulldog, like gonna rip your face off kind of energy, which I love. And I think we work with each other really, really well.
Last time we talked, and this was like right before COVID, shut everything down.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a long time, but you were talking about, what was that?
The facial hair is going straight.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Yeah, I got the quarantine flow going too.
I love it. It's so good.
Got the whole look. No, you were talking about how you're trying to bring Sarah over to your like more nerdy side. And
oh my gosh.
Video games and anime and like.
You see all my geeky art.
Yes, I love that. What's the status yet? Has Sarah got into that at all?
Guys, we've made moves. I'm very excited about it. She's just finished the second Harry Potter book. She's doing book, movie. She's going to go all the way through.
My gosh.
And she just started the third book. So I'm like freaking out. And she made like a Harry Potter joke like 2 days ago. And I was on the ground like dying. Like,
oh, that's a win.
It's the biggest win ever. Because I've tried to get this girl to like play video games with me or just watch some of the like cartoons and anime and like geeky stuff that I love. And she's been fairly resistant. She's like open. She's like, okay, we can try. And we'll like sit down and then we'll start watching something and she'll start playing on her phone because she's bored. I'm like, no, like just watch. But yeah, this was like probably 2 years of me like nagging her that like finally broke down. She's like, all right, like your favorite thing ever is Harry Potter. Like we'll dive into that. And so many other people love it too. So I can't wait for her to finish and we can like make jokes all the time. I'm very excited about it, but yes, we're making progress.
That was my summer goal last year, was to read the Harry Potter books. Cause I had only read, I think, through book three. Huge Stop. Fan of Harry Potter. Love the movies. Well, big fan. But the books changed it for me. Yeah.
Did you finish them?
Finished them. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, I've only read up to number four, but you know, big fan.
You've only read up to number four?
Yes.
Fired.
What? Wow. Okay. We see the fieriness happening now. Okay. All right.
Goblet of Fire was my favorite movie. And then I read the book and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many plot holes in the movie that were filled in the book. And the book makes it so much better.
Books are, I think, 9 times out of 10, books are better than movies.
Yeah. If there's one thing, so you got her to like Harry Potter. If there's one thing that you want her to get on board with, what is that? One other thing.
I want her to play video games with me on the road. I want to start getting like some 2-player games and yeah, that'd be
epic. I feel like that's like a good way to unwind like after after long tournament or training day.
But like I think the book was the good avenue to go down because she's turned into a book fiend since quarantine. Oh my God, this girl has read so many books. So that was like, I think the right avenue to go down. And then while we're on flights, they had the Harry Potters, to and from, Doha. So she got to watch
the perfect. First
flight. So that worked out really well. But yeah, gosh, I want to get her to play school, but I don't know if I can get her to sit down that long and play with me.
What game would you have her play?
Yeah.
Huh?
What game would you have her play?
Oh, what's something fun we could play together? I mean, I've been trying like easy. I mean, like you can make it, I feel like, as easy or as hard as you want. Like Super Mario Odyssey. So I have the Switch that I take everywhere with me. And that's like my recharge. That's my like decompression time. So yeah, I tried getting her to play just like a little bit of Mario Odyssey. Like the very first level is so easy. Like you can cruise right along, but she just never played video games before. So like, she wasn't understanding like, okay, like one thumb is like moving where you like see and the other one is moving you. So she kept either like looking straight down and like trying to run places.
Oh my gosh.
Looking straight up and running places. I'm like, look where you're going. Like, just look. And it's so interesting. Like I've played them for so long. I don't have to like think about it. It's, right. I mean, it's like ball or like anything else. Like things become muscle memory, but like, I don't have to think about like looking around corners. Like, but she like runs to an edge. She's like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I'm like, turn the camera and keep walking. so that would be super fun. But we'll see. Baby steps.
Yeah. Well, good luck. Keep us updated.
I will. We'll keep doing this yearly, and I'll be like, okay, I got her on this and this.
And we're really looking forward to the music video too. Is that going to be released on social media, or where can we watch that?
Yes, that'll be on both of our Instagrams. It'll be on our YouTube channel. You can go follow us there. I'll probably throw it up on Facebook. We're going to put it everywhere. I cried the first time when it was like getting edited and sent over, I was crying.
Oh my gosh.
It's so funny. It's so good. I'm really hyping it up and it's really worth the hype.
Perfect. We're looking forward to it. All right. Well, let's talk about competition because tournaments are back. You're back on the beach. What is that like, you know, after missing the whole 2020 season due to COVID? Yeah. But what's it like getting back on the beach for it competition.
It's so good to be back on the sand competing. This is what I love to do. It's my job, but it's also, you know, my passion, and I love going out and doing what I do. And like training is one piece of the puzzle, obviously, but there's so much value in competing, and when everything's on the line, like, you feel so exposed out there on the court. Like, it's just you and your partner, no coach, no anything, like, and you can't replicate that in practice, where we have like a little mini tournament. A handful of coaches threw together that we play today and we'll play tomorrow, in Formosa. And it's kind of like getting like a little taste of it, but it's not the same as like being on tour with a bunch of our friends who we haven't got to see for like a year, that we just like message online, which it's different than like being there and seeing everyone. And it's so cool after a year getting to see what everyone's like worked on. And with like, what is it, 5 more tournaments until the qualification is up, like everything's like feels very much on the line. Like,
yeah,
the game is like, this really, really matters. So it's just, it already before felt kind of like life or death on the world tour, which I kind of love that like international players bring that kind of like energy to the court, which I don't think you get that as much in the States. But I think it's even heightened more because it's Olympic qualifying. So it's been, it's felt so good to go out and compete again. And I'm excited for more. And like 3 weeks in a row is going to be, gnarly. I haven't done that in a while. So it's going to be great. And we have country quota and qualifier for all 3. So it's going to be a lot of volley in 3 weeks. And then it's going to be like, and recharge. But yeah, yes,
it's really ramping up.
Really excited.
Mm-hmm. What was the most challenging thing about getting back on the sand?
Ooh, the most challenging thing. Sarah and I, this like past year and a half, I guess, it's been a year now. That's crazy. We really started diving in and like kind of nitpicking different things that we really wanted to work on. I think most of them are just kind of bad habits. And I think bad habits are really hard to break. And it takes like being one, like all in, all bought in. And then two, like, I think actually putting those things into play in competition is very, very different than just like doing it in practice.
Right.
I think it's so easy when like competitive mode like turns on to just like throw things out the window. Like we just have to find a way to win. Which I think there's always like a level to that, but then there's also a level of like, okay, wait, like we've been working on these things and we're trying to break these bad habits. And so it's like this balancing act. So it's been rough, and we've had ups and downs, and we went 1-1 today, which sucks, but you know, I think we did a good job like staying on task to the things that we're working on and the things we want to get better at. And I think those are the most valuable reps, the losses, doing the right thing versus wins, kind of doing old wrong things.
Old habits.
I think those reps are so important and so valuable. And I think that's going to be, I think, the make or break for us in the next 3 events. And then we'll have a little bit more training time, and then the last 2 in Sochi and in Czech. So yeah, it's hard, and it's hard to like, we've done a lot of work just like sitting down, watching film, just talking about a lot of things. And it's hard to like sit in the mirror and be like, okay, like I need to shape up. I need to do A, B, and C, and like take ownership of that. And I think because we're both young, like we get prideful sometimes, and it's hard to own up to that stuff sometimes. So I think we've been doing a good job reminding each other and being vulnerable with each other, and I think it's going to pay off.
So it seems like there's just a lot of moving parts, a lot of excitement overall, just a lot of jam-packed volleyball about to happen in the next 3 weeks, which is super exciting. So I just have to ask, like, how do you prepare mentally and physically for that much volleyball in the span of the next, you know, 3 weeks that are coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think the training that we're doing right now is prepared us for a run kind of like this. Just the capacity that we've been doing, what we've been doing in the gym, what we've been doing in the sand, I think we'll be in shape for it. One adjustment I made from my training after Doha, it was pretty hot in Doha, like temperature and like humidity was a lot hotter than what we get in California. And I felt that a lot in 2 out of our 5 or 6 matches. So I've added in like sauna time, these last few weeks to try to get my body kind of acclimated to the heat. So that was like an adjustment for me, but like training and practice wise, I think the capacity that we're doing now is more than enough for these 3 weeks. I think it'll be challenging for sure. I think more mentally. I think especially with us being like a younger team, I think we like fall victim to like, I don't know, just like immature mistakes, I guess. Things that I don't see vets doing. There's so many times I think we create such great opportunities for ourselves, and then we just do like this bonehead mistake, and we both just sitting there looking at each other like, wait, why did I do that? So I think that'll come with time and like really pressing in like, okay, like, why did I do that? Why did I feel like that was a good option in that like scenario? So yeah, I think just mentally it's going to be pretty taxing 3 weeks in a row and like quarantine together. We have such a good time together, but it's been a while since we've been like together for like 3 weeks, like 24 hours a day. So
she has to play video games
then. I was about to say, you gotta bring a switch for sure. She has no choice.
I hope I can get her to play a little. That would be a big like side quest win for me if I can get her to play a little with me.
Just gotta introduce it, like, you know, hey, let's do something you want to do. Okay, we did that, now switch time, you know, like, get a trade-off.
Smart. I love that idea. I'll get her.
Well, it's pretty cool because you guys are already, you know, I've watched you play, you're a scary team already, but to hear you say like, you know, there's a few small things, immature things, you guys are making bonehead things that, you know, you're making that mistake and you can realize that. But once you guys clean that up, just knowing that you just have another level that you guys are approaching is pretty cool and pretty scary to the other competitors, I think.
I know.
I think so too. Yeah. I'm so excited to clean up some of this stuff, guys. And our goal, we want to dominate the world tour. We don't want to just win a few tournaments, and I think we're so on track to do that, and that's something we've been like talking about a lot and really diving in. We watch so much film trying to figure out like the best, because I think each team is different and everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, but I think the system that we're running and the things that we're doing, like, I think we can dominate the world tour, which is very exciting. That's such a, I feel like looking at other girls in the world tour, I feel like we're babies, but we are grown women and
you're a powerhouse. That's what you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're on that stage. You're on that stage too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we are really excited, and we're going to be cheering you guys on throughout these next few tournaments for sure. Thanks. So thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
And I know you got these tournaments coming up, and you know those are your big goals and your big focus right now. But have you visualized yourself at the Olympics in Tokyo? And what would that mean to you to make it to the Olympic Games?
Oh my gosh, we've done a lot of, our coach calls them like whiteboard sessions, where we'll sit down and like kind of dive into a topic, or he'll have film or quotes that we like sit and journal and kind of ponder through. And we've done a few journal sessions kind of diving into, okay, like, we qualify for the Olympics, like, how are we feeling? like diving into those emotions. Okay, we're in the Olympics. We have our first match. Like, what are we feeling? How do we like ground ourselves in this moment? How do we not like lose that with all of the excitement and the nerves? And then we dove into like, it's the gold medal match. Everything we've worked for is like for this moment. And like, how are we going to respond to, yeah, everything that's going on and the emotions. And I've sat down with so many athletes who've gone to the Olympics, and they almost every single one just talks about how just like mentally taxing it is.
Yeah.
There's just so many things going on. There's so much hype, which there should be. It's the Olympics. Oh my gosh. So it's hard for me to wrap my head around something that I haven't experienced, but I try, yeah, to put myself in that position and how am I going to feel? And most of the time I'm like, oh my God, like we made, like, oh my, like so nervous and so jittery and so excited and anxious. And oh, I just want to go out there and do what we do and do what we love to do. So I'm sure, I mean, just talking about this, it sounds like I need to do some more journaling to like steady myself, but we've been preaching a lot, just taking it one match, one point at a time. And that's a big reason why we're not really looking at the points, our coaches tracking it, but yeah, I don't see it advantageous for us to kind of see where we're at. Like going into a tournament, I don't think it's going to help me play better knowing, okay, if we get a fourth and this other team gets a ninth, like we'll pass them. Like that's just not on my radar right now. And yeah, we're just trying to tweak some things and go out and entertain people and do what we love to do.
That's a pretty cool practice that you're doing with your coach to look ahead and visualize, you know, those different moments that you might face at the Olympics, you know, whether that's, you know, your first match, or you know, a gold medal match, because it's different. You know, I haven't been to an Olympics, but I imagine it's a different animal than, you know, even like a 4 or 5 star on the FIVB tour. So that's pretty cool.
You've got a good quote, and I might butcher this right now, but you don't rise to the level of the occasion. You fall to the level of your preparation. So I think us sitting down and doing that kind of stuff, visualization work, like talking to people who have gone and experienced it and trying to take like little nuggets of wisdom from them. I think all of those pieces are really important. And yeah, I think we're going to go and be very prepared. Or I'm hoping, I really feel like we've put the work in. So yeah, we just got to take it one point at a time.
Yeah. Well, we'll be rooting you guys on through these next few tournaments, and hope that you guys get there. That would be so cool.
Oh my gosh. That'd be so crazy. It's right there, right in front of us. It's just like, are we going to go and grab it? Or let it slip away. That song's so good. What's the, if you had one.
Eminem song, is that right?
Yeah.
Lose yourself.
Lose yourself. Yep.
Thank you.
I got you.
So good.
Well, I think that's the end of our interview here. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or share?
I wanted to share my music video, so I got to do that. So
there you go.
Way too easy.
And I know you're
can
on.
Can we get a hint of the song? I'm sorry to cut you off, Stephen, but ahead. Can we get a little hint of, you know, like maybe the genre or the, you know,
okay. I'll tell you the title. So, or I'll give you a little sneak peek. Just some context, maybe.
Yeah.
So this was like 2 years ago now. We were in China, lost a really tough match. We should not have lost this game. And we go back to the hotel, shower, like just kind of moping around our hotel room. Sarah and I talk like later that night. We have dinner and we're like, it just sucks. And we're just like sitting in it. And I go to bed and Sarah can't sleep. And Sarah stays up till like 3 a.m.
Oh my gosh.
She took this Bye 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 by NSYNC and changed the words. just talking about the situation we were in, like diving into a really tough loss, and just like not sitting in it forever and giving yourself like permission to like feel what you're feeling, but then like it's time to bounce back. And it's not the biggest deal in the world. It's one match. I think Kobe had a great quote, like, you're not that important. So like this idea that like what am I really stressing over right now? Like I am one human, like an ant compared to, I don't know, the universe. Like, yeah, I think it's just a good thing to kind of fall back on, like, especially when I'm getting like too far into my own head, like, dude, you're not that important. Like, come on. So that was, yeah. So she, I wake up in the morning. That's my story. Sorry. I wake up in the morning. It's like 8 a.m. And I like look over and Sarah's like a freaking gremlin in her bed, like looking over at me, like, are you awake? I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, what is going on? Like, wrote another song. I'm like, okay, like, can we have breakfast? Can I wake up? Can I brush my teeth? Like, what are we doing right now? So I read through it and I'm like, I'm dying. I'm on the ground laughing my butt off. Yeah, just cry laughing like we usually do together. And I sing it through and she's now crying, laughing so hard because it's just, it's so spot on. It's so good. And then, yeah, I think just like little pieces were put together. Again, we literally went into like a real recording studio in Hollywood. And
that is so cool.
Like, it's going to be big time, guys. You should.
That is very LA.
You're not ready, is what I'm saying. You're not ready.
I'm on the edge of my seat. Ready. I'm so excited.
Just drop.
After seeing your last few, I can't even imagine where this is going to go.
I know. And I just think they're just going to keep getting better. So after we initially saw, after it was edited and sent in, we watched it through and then we sat down and we watched our very first one. And we're like, oh my gosh, one, the sound quality, because we just did it on our phones. Two, just like, I think it was still pretty good, but it's like, wow, we've taken another step up, which is like so exciting. And I think
the journey.
Huh?
All about the journey.
It's all about the journey. Yeah. And we have like 10 more songs to produce. Like, and Sarah will probably write three more in Cancun. So
I don't know if this has happened before, but, and maybe, you know, but has there ever been a professional volleyball player who's also a recording artist?
Anyone?
No, you guys might be the first.
Sarah and I think we're gonna tag. You don't have to put this in anywhere. We made like this long list of like all these talk shows that we want to like go on and like do our dance and sing our songs and talk about volleyball and just talk about all the things that we love to do and we love to do together. So we're like, oh, we got to tag Ellen and we got to tag Jay Fallon and we got like all of these like talk shows that we want. We're like, oh, The Voice, like, will they have us on?
Yes, please.
It's going to be good.
So people can watch this on your social media. What's your handle? And I know you guys have a team account too. A new team account.
My account is KellyClays3, on Insta. And on Twitter, I think, but I don't do a lot on Twitter. And then, yeah, we have a Team Slays. And for anyone that doesn't know, Slays is Sponsel and Clays. And yeah, we slay, so Slays.
Exactly. Like, so fitting.
And we have a website, teamslays.com, which our new logo is up there if you want to check that out too. It's pretty cool. And yeah, our music video will be up soon for everyone to enjoy.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time to sit down with us, Kelly. And we'll be cheering you on. And we look forward to talking to you again soon. Keep us updated on Sarah and her status on video games.
Oh, I'm so excited, guys. I got to find a really, maybe like an easy like side scroller she would enjoy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Then she doesn't have to like stress about anything.
And if you can film it, because I think she would have some pretty hilarious reactions, that could be good. That could be good content.
Maybe start with like Super Smash Bros. Or something, you know, something classic. No, not too much?
Games like that, she'll just stop playing because I'll... She's just like, nope. I tried to play. Okay, I don't know if you guys have played Overcooked.
Oh, I haven't yet, but I've heard of it.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It's super simple. It's just like the boards that you play on get harder and harder, but you're just like this little cook. You have like three buttons. One button is like chopping things. One is picking things up and setting things down, and then you can throw things as well. So you just like go and make like burritos and sushi and. Like each level gets progressively harder, but like I played with Sarah and she just gets like so stressed. She just like drops the controller. She's like, I'm done.
I tried it, walking away.
We also played with, we've got some good friends from Spain. And they're absolutely priceless to just like chat with, hang out with. They're awesome. Amarant and Angela, they're like, Spain's like second or third team, awesome girls. And when we might have been in China, I usually bring like an HDMI cord and the dock. Mm-hmm. So I plug it into whatever TV I'm at, and I showed them this game. And these girls, one of them started like running in a circle around the board, like, I don't know what to do. Like, there's a few levels where your kitchen can catch fire if you like let something cook. Like if you let the rice cook too long, it will catch fire and then incinerate the whole kitchen. So she is just like absolutely freaking out. And her partner's like, do something, do something. Oh, it was really funny. Sorry, side story.
No, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yeah, you go to these international tournaments and just, you know, you play volleyball together with these other these other teams, but then you go back to your place and play some video games. That's so cool.
I love it. I love it so much.
Well, yeah, if there's nothing else you want to talk about, share. I think we're about wrapped up here.
I think we crushed it, guys. I think it was
way. I think we did too.
Yeah, appreciate your energy, your stories. Again, can't wait for the music video to drop. High expectations through the roof. We're waiting.
So excited. And yes, stories anytime. Freaking love telling stories. It's the best.
Awesome. Well, we will talk to you soon. Good luck in Cancun and go get them. Go USA.
I will see you later. Have a great rest of your day.
Great. Thanks so much, Kelly.
Take care.
Bye.
You're a wizard, Kelly.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
Man, it's such a good time just always listening to Kelly, having her talk on the show. We really appreciate her realism and her just her personality. I definitely love the two dynamic duos as a group, as a pair throughout their journey with USA Volleyball, and definitely learned a lot that I personally hadn't known prior to this. Again, if you guys don't know, every person we've interviewed on this podcast so far through these first three episodes know Steven, have a definitive friendship with Steven. So yeah, I'm the new kid on the block.
Kelly and I, anytime I've interviewed her twice, sat down with her twice to interview her. And luckily they've both been at the end of the day and end of the media day. And we literally just sat there and talked for like 2 hours about everything but volleyball. she went in to talk about, you know, one word to describe her partnership with Sarah Sponsel. And it was right there with, you know, creativity, authenticity. And you heard it from her, you know, they're unique too. Like, they follow them on social media. They post music videos, you know, them on the beach, dancing and singing. And, they have a new one coming up soon. She teased it for us a little bit. I think she said something about a little NSYNC.
Maybe.
Bye, 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 maybe.
But before we get into that, though, I do want to just recognize that, you know, they are one of the younger pairs,
you know, in contention for qualifying for Tokyo. And I just think it's incredible, you know, how they take their training into account and just general consideration, how they prepare for their training and all these other qualifiers that are coming up very soon, particularly Cancun. But don't you just love how she mentioned the mistakes that they recognize that they make that veterans aren't making, and how quickly they're able to recognize those and adjust on the fly and make sure that they don't happen again? I think that's incredible to be able to just react like that.
Yeah, it's cool to hear that they, you know, they have a special partnership where they can just be vulnerable with each other and talk about, you know, things that each other can work on and you know, the mistakes that they make during competition and they can fine tune those in practice and moving forward in competition. But yeah, they have a great partnership with how young they are. And, you know, they have these small, silly mistakes that they make in games, but they recognize those, their coach recognizes those, and they move forward and can make those, but make those corrections. But when they, you know, tune that up and fix those errors, you know, they're going to be a scary team on the beach for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're already one of those scary teams now that they're not giving themselves enough credit for. They're locked in. They don't even want to talk about the point system, the race. They don't care about that. They just want to get out and play. And it's just like, I'm losing the words here, but, you know, they call themselves, you know, youngins. I don't think it was youngins. That might just be the Star Wars nerd in me, but I think it was either youngins or babies. But regardless, they're up there with, you know, some of the top talent in the world and, you know, are so close to qualifying just like any other pair in this race right now. So you got to give yourselves the credits due and give them an applause for what they've been able to accomplish, too. So big kudos to you two.
Yeah, for sure. We're going to be cheering them on the whole way. And, you know, I think they know they're on the stage. They're on this big stage. They know they deserve to be where they're at. But I think even they can agree that they can't believe that they're in contention for Tokyo. And they're going through some cool exercises with their coach to visualize different aspects of those big games, you know, their first Olympic match, you know, a gold medal match at the Olympic Games, just the atmosphere and what they'll be feeling, and trying to bring that into practice, visualize it and, you know, go through a practice, go through competition, thinking about that. And I think that's just pretty cool and something that, you know, younger players can take away from that conversation.
Yeah. And I think it's a lot of, what even Sean Scott mentioned, just to circle back on his interview, you got to practice how you play. So to get that from, you know, his coach and or director point of view, and then get that firsthand perspective from Kelly Clays herself, it really just shows the alignment, the direction and the mentality towards preparation in general. Just moving forward. So again, the race is really tight. We're excited. We're on the edge of our seats. Once again, I know it's a podcast. You can't see it, but we're on the edge of our seats and, you know, we're rooting for everyone. You know, we wish everyone could qualify, but, you know, top two.
Yeah. Like she said, it's life or death right now. And you know, they just got back to competition with the Doha event. And she was just mentioning how great it was just to be in that atmosphere again and see old friends and compete with the best in the world again. And you know, that's just something that, you know, they try to replicate in practice, but you know, it's not really the same. I love the quote that her coach, I think it was her coach, who said, you know, you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to the level of preparation. And that's exactly what they're doing right now, is preparing for those big moments. Good luck to them heading into Tokyo and the race for Olympic qualification. We're excited.
And that's a wrap on episode 3. You guys, we made it. We made it through the launch. We're here. Episode 3 is in the books. Wow. Wait, before we just started yesterday?
It does feel like that. But, you know, before we end it, let's talk a little bit about, you know, Kelly embracing her nerdy side a little bit. And she opened up to us and talked about, you know, video games and anime and, you know, Harry Potter and what those things mean to her. And I thought it was cool when she said she brings her Switch everywhere she goes, because that's her way to unwind. Her Nintendo Switch is the way she unwinds and relaxes during competition.
I know. Like you mentioned, it's her way of unwinding. And I love how she brought up during international competitions. Like that's how, like, that's a good icebreaker to meet, like, new people.
Oh, and that was cool. Yeah.
New teams and develop new friendships. Just like, hey, yeah, let's just play my Switch. And then we're going to, you know, just talk about whatever comes up after that. I think that's amazing just to, you know, introduce that. And then from there, you just, you know, just have a simple conversation of that. And I know she's in the process of getting Sarah to, you know, be more lenient towards games and enjoy them. So I hope that they're able to accomplish that in this Cancun bubble, since there's not going to be much to do. So, you know, might as well start to trade off of, you know, favorite things to do. And, you know, we wish them the best of luck in that own separate journey, because I know that's going to be quite the thing to hear about.
Yeah. If you're out there listening and you're into, you know, video gaming and anime and Comic Cons, Harry Potter, anything like that, go follow Kelly Clays on social media and actually go to her Instagram page and look at her highlights. She has two highlights up there right now with her at Comic Con a few years ago. And she cosplayed as Raven from Teen Titans and Kim Possible. And the Raven one was cool because she kind of showed the stages of preparation to make that costume. And they're both amazing costumes. But if you're a fan of that, you'll love Kelly Clays. So go follow her for sure. But yeah, let's wrap this up. This is the wrap on episode 3. Can't believe we're here. Like you said, it's always great to hear and talk to Kelly, hear her stories. We'll definitely have to have her on again and bring on Sarah Sponsel too, to hear her side of these stories, because she might have a little different take on them. Maybe.
I was about to say, we got to hear both sides of the story.
We got to hear both sides.
Just assume, you know, we start to assume out there, but, yeah, we did it again. Thanks for following us along. Again, we keep mentioning the Cancun hub and, you know, this 4-star beach classic event that's going to happen from April 16th to May 2nd. Remember, it's 3 separate events within 3 weeks, and it's very hyped. It's a good gauge on the direction of the Tokyo qualification. So if you could tune in there, do so. You won't regret it. The women's and men's rankings are very tight right now. Just to touch base on, you know, our men's USA duos, we have Taylor Crabb and Jake Gibb leading the way right now with 7,200 points. Phil Dahlhauser, Nick Lucena in second with 6,400 points themselves. And then in third, we have Trevor Crabb and Triborn with 6,360 points. And that's just on the men's side. So like we said, the race is tight. This will give you a good gauge on the men's side. And I don't know if Steven, if you wanted to touch base on the women's rankings, but
yeah. I can do that. Yeah. Like we said earlier, April Ross and Alex Fleiman have mathematically qualified for the Olympic Games. Right after them, we've got Kerry Walsh Jennings, Brooke Sweat, with 6,900 points, 6,960 points to be exact. Right after them, Sarah Sponsel and Kelly Clays with 6,720 points. And then we have Kelly Kalinske and Emily Stockman with 6,320 points. So very tight race. You know, when we get on the other side of this three event series, these three tournaments in Cancun, we might have a little bit of better picture on the Olympic race, and we'll definitely update you guys when that happens.
Mm-hmm. And those aren't that's not the only event happening right now too. Just to remind you, we do have our open national registration closing on April 22nd. That deadline is approaching very fast. So make sure to visit our website for more information on that and to register. We also have our Collegiate National Championship at Opens registration closing, excuse me, on April 29th. Again, more information to come on our website. You can only register on our website, so make sure you visit usavolleyball.org to take care of that. And then lastly, we have our Girls Junior National Championship 18s coming up April 23rd through 25th in Columbus, Ohio. A lot of volleyball happening in April.
A lot of volleyball. Yeah, we're just ramping up here at all levels, too, at all levels. So, yeah, definitely excited for that. And we're excited for this podcast, too. Thank you guys so much for listening to these first three episodes. And we hope you're enjoying it, too. Please rate and review, just like our friend on Apple, DJ_009. Thank you so much for the 5-star rating and our first ever comment. How does that feel, Clarence?
That's my DJ horn. Shout out to DJ_009. It means a lot. You know, I know we have a long journey ahead of us, and you know, we thank you for taking the time to, you know, watch these three episodes. We hope you still like the podcast. We hope you still think it's a, you know, 5-star rating. But again, we want to hear from you guys. So yeah. Feel free to leave any reviews on our on any of our social channels. Feel free to email us at the USAV show at usav.org. Again, we will respond to you. We're listening. We hear you. We're reading all your comments and concerns, and we want to gear this for you guys. So again, thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, we hope this launch, this 100 days launch was a success, because we enjoyed it. So we hope you enjoyed it as much as we have.
Yeah, yeah. And we coming up, we have a special episode about college volleyball next Wednesday, April 21st. And then after that, new episodes will drop every other Wednesday. So definitely stay tuned for that. Go follow USA Volleyball on social media, all platforms at USA Volleyball. We'll post episode previews, guest announcements for future episodes there. But yeah, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to the USA Volleyball Show, and we'll see you guys next time.
This has been the USA Volleyball Show with Clarence Hughes and Stephen Munson, produced by Curtis Ward. Our content producers are Kyle Scholzen and Laura Fawcett. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to rate and review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to the USA Volleyball Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.